1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. We're starting at, so there's a heading there, God's love and ours. That's where I'm reading from. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. We thank God for that reading from his word that we take a few moments now to reflect upon. God is love. Well, beginning this year, looking at the attributes of God. What is God like? And a good place to start is to consider. What is God like? God is... Should we do that again? What is God like? God is...
love.
God is love. And in the reading I've just read, we have that clear statement. Twice it says those three words. God is love. And that's what we're reflecting on today. God is... what is God like? Now we might say, well, what do we mean by that? God is love, God is kind, God is good. Whatever attribute we want to, in a sense, give to God or say about God, what do we mean by that? Now, let me put up a picture. This is a picture of
DNA.
Now, that's the short name. Come on. Did you get that? Because I'm not going to repeat it. Now, DNA within every one of our cells, all our cells that make up who we are, we have a copy of our DNA. And we receive our DNA from our mum and our dad, and it makes us who we are. We are absolutely unique. But we are told that if somebody studies our DNA, they can find out almost anything about us. And it makes us who we are. It makes us what we are. Even it gives us all the gifts and abilities that we have. They're implanted there within every single cell of our body. And there isn't a cell within us that does not have that mark of who we are and what we are within it. Now, DNA, what we're talking about when we say God is something, what we're asking is, what's his DNA? Now, we can't do that. I mean, it's, in a sense, a ridiculous thing to do, but that's really the question we're after. What is in God's DNA? So that however you look at him, whatever angle you come at God from, whatever experience you come at God from, and of course, we all come from very different experiences and backgrounds and knowledge and so on, what do we experience of God? What will we know of God, wherever we come from? And that's really what we're going to be asking. What is he? Who is he? What is in God's DNA? What are those things that, in a sense, if God, you know, if we had God standing here now and if we could take his cells and look at them, what would we find in every cell of God? So that's what we mean when we're looking at the attributes of God. That's what we mean when I say God is something. Now, today, we're going to be reflecting on this. God is love. And again, you know, it just comes with a whole load of questions, really. What do we mean? What do we mean when we say God is love? And I want to stress that as we look at the attributes of God, and today, as we think about God is love, what we are not saying is that yesterday God was like this, but we can't be sure that he's going to be like that tomorrow. Because he might show a different side of his character to us tomorrow, but not today. Neither are we saying, and sometimes we do this, it's an awful thing. You know, do you ever talk in terms of, you're talking to somebody and say, well, with my teacher's hat on, I would give you this opinion. But with my parents' hat on, I'll give you this opinion, and so on. Do you ever do that? You know, you put different hats on. I think, come on. I don't want your teacher's opinion or your parents' opinion. I want you. You know, and I never say, well, with my minister's hat on. How dreadful that would be. You know, with my minister's hat on, or with my parents' hat on, or with my teacher's hat on, or whatever. No, when you ask my opinion, you get my opinion. That should run through every hat I wear. I shouldn't change opinion depending on which hat I'm wearing. It should just be me. And so when we talk about God and say God is, we're not saying he changes and has a different characteristic on display today and the one tomorrow and so on. Neither are we saying he wears different hats at different times. We're saying these things run all the way through him, whatever the situation, wherever we find him. Now, here's a picture of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is probably best known, I guess, for the Narnia Chronicles, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and so on. And he was a professor of, I think he was professor of medieval history at Oxford. Very clever man. And he was a great debater. And he loved to debate. And particularly, apparently, he loved to completely destroy his opponents in debates. But he came to faith. He was convinced that God was true. And C.S. Lewis, the great debater, the brilliant man, had to give his life to Christ. And he applied his same academic mind, his brilliant brain, he applied that to his faith. And he asked many questions of his faith to explore and then to explain what the faith was about. And considering this question, God is love, what do we mean? C.S. Lewis, he came up with four different loves that I'll just list here. And he wrote a book about it. And he talks about different loves that we experience. We experience the love of affection. You can find affection in all different parts of life, between all sorts of genders and ages and so on. We like one another. It's affectionate. Or we can speak about friendship, and we can say to a friend, I love you. You know, I know some people, you know, they look at me a bit strange when I say, do you know, man, I love you. Good friendship. That's what good friendship is, isn't it? You may never say those words, but that's what you mean when you give someone a hug. You say, I love you. That's what you're after. And this third one is being in love. Well, this is a lovely place to be, you know, being in love. And just think, oh man, the only person I want to see, the only person I want to think about, the only person I want to dream about is whoever it is. That's what being in love is about. And it's passionate, and it gives you a light head. And do you remember? You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? Do you remember that? But that's being in love. And I think C.S. Lewis said, you can't rest everything on this being in love, because other loves are more powerful and more profound, more important than that. But it's an important part of life. And then he listed what he called charity. And when he talked about charity, he was really moving from, you know, that great chapter on love in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, and the very last line. These three remain: faith, hope, and charity. And he was talking there about God's love, saying this is the utterly dependable, resilient love. This is the love that comes to us from God, that surrounds us every moment of every day. All these other loves we experience in life, and they have something of God, something of the divine in them, of course, because all love is from God. But there is this love, he said, this charity, this giving love, this wonderful love. He says, this is, God is love. But he also then went on to speak about two ways of loving. He spoke about what he called need love. Need love. This is where we say, I love you. You'll never say this, but this is what need love is. I love you because I need you. Now, babies love because they need. Okay? Now, some adults love because they need. And we get confused and we misunderstand and we think we're in love with somebody. We think we deeply love them. Sometimes at the core of our being, we're only loving because we need them. And C.S. Lewis says that's not God's love. He doesn't love like that. He doesn't love us because he needs us. He loves instead with what he called a gift love. I love you. I don't need anything from you. I love you. I love you just as you are. This is not about your beauty. This is not about, you know, how handsome you are when you looked in the mirror this morning. You know, this is not about your gifts or your abilities. This is not about your experience or your education. It's not about what you can offer back to God. God's love is a gift love. And he loves because he loves. God's love is unconditional. And C.S. Lewis stressed this gift love. Not a need love, it's a gift love. So when we say God is love, there are many loves. Many different types of love. We use just the same one word, really. There are many types of love. But God's love is a gift to you. Is a gift. I'm guessing that we all receive gifts at Christmas. It's only a week ago. Forgotten already, haven't we? But I assume we all receive gifts at Christmas. You know, there are some gifts you received. Some people who gave you a gift, and you knew really that if they gave you one, you really ought to give them one. Did you have any of them? But there were probably other gifts where you knew it really was a gift. Nothing was expected back. There'd been no disapproving looks next time you met if you hadn't given them one. God's love is gift. And we just need to stay with this just for a second to say, it doesn't really matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've not been in church for, I know, however long, or whether you were in church last week. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter if you prayed recently or not, or if you've read the Bible or not. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian or not. It doesn't matter if you've done good things or bad things. God's love is a gift, and it is there for you. And when we say it's unconditional, that's what we mean. Do we understand it? Do you know, I don't really understand God's love. I'm trying to enter into it and experience something of it. But I don't really understand it. But it's there. God's love is unconditional. Now, I'm going to say four things, just very quickly, about God's love. And the first is this. God's love is active. God's love is active. The Bible says, Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates, that's very active, God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is an active love. God does not sit in heaven and say to us, do you know, guys, I love you, and do nothing about it. The Bible is very clear that love motivates God. Love activates God. God loves and he acts because he loves. God demonstrates his love. If he doesn't demonstrate it, there is no love. God demonstrates his love for us in this. He gave Jesus for us. Why? Because he loves us. Or we can turn to that very well-known verse. For God loved the world so much. What did he do? He acted. He gave. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's love is active. It moves from where it is, from the heart of God, and it always is moving out, seeking those whom it can love. God's love is an active love. And we don't have to take very long in the life of Jesus to see that this is so. Those experiences when Jesus was forgiving sin, it was God's love in action. There was one occasion when Jesus was gathered with a whole group of people in a house. They were packing the house out, probably standing at the windows, crowding around, filling the doors. And some guys came to the house, thinking, well, we're bringing our friend, a cripple, to Jesus. We've heard these stories that Jesus heals. And they couldn't get in the house because it was too full. So what do they do? Go up on the roof, begin tearing the roof apart. They think this is the only thing we can do. They lower that friend into the center of the room, right at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus looks at the man and says, your sins are forgiven. And there, just in that moment, we have the love of God, where God comes to us and says, whatever you've done, I don't want you to be distant from me because of the stuff you've got wrong. I forgive your sin. And everybody, of course, was scandalized by that. And then Jesus healed the man, and he was able to get up and walk. You know, I love the story of the blind man who was sitting by the edge of the road, and he begged every day at that particular spot, and he heard a great crowd coming along. He says, well, what's happening? Well, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And obviously, he keeps his ear closer, closer, closer. Calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody shushes him up. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus makes his way to that man and says to him, what do you want? What a great. You know, if Jesus came to you right now and said, what do you want? What would you say? Isn't that a great question? What would you want? And says, I'm blind. I want to see. What do you want? You see, it was God's love in action. God's love was walking along that road that day, seeking out, who can I demonstrate my love to today? Befriending the outsider, those that were ostracized from the society of which Jesus was a part, including the lonely, drawing the lonely into his group, raising the dead. Jesus did all these things. They were all signs of the love of God. God's love is an active love. It is not passive. It does not sit on the sidelines and watch you or me, while we get into our messes and we try and sort them out all by ourselves. God's love doesn't sit on the sidelines, but would engage with us and say, I am here to walk with you. God's love is an active love. So the next thing is God's love is generous. God's love is generous. You know, sometimes I get the feeling that we think that love is somehow limited. I remember when, it must have been back in the 80s, maybe in the early 90s as well, there was the whole Ethiopian famine, and there was lots and lots of appeals. Do you remember? Remember all the appeals, money, 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 giving. And, you know, we had celebrities going out and bringing reports back of this particular refugee camp and feeding station and all this kind of stuff. And I remember hearing people began to talk about, I think it was a love fatigue. I think that was the phrase they used, because they were, or compassion fatigue. They were meeting these children and men and women who were dying, and they were giving everything to them. And they were saying, you know, we've seen so many and we've given so much that they got fatigued. I don't know. Do we identify with that? I mean, I don't know if you're in a caring profession and you get to the point of you want to shut the door and say, I don't want to care for anybody ever again, because I'm deeply tired. And I think sometimes we project that onto God, and we think that he gets tired of loving us, that he sees the agony that we sometimes live in, and he looks at us and goes, I loved you yesterday for that. And in fact, I've loved you all last year for that, and you haven't got it sorted out. I'm moving on. And that's what we... God's love is a generous love. It gives and it gives and it gives. And when it's given everything, it gives more. There is not a limit to God's love. There is not a limit to God's love. I love this verse from 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And I've told this story before, how when we were in London, hearing a local preacher talking about this verse and saying, do you know, it reminds me of that dessert I had yesterday. And the dessert came round. And then he said, I was past the bowl of cream. And I took a dollop of cream. And then I took another. This is bringing back memories, isn't it? Christmas, you know, overindulgence, and then another. He said, I lavished that dessert with cream. Do you know? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Generous. He's given enough, and then he gives more, and he gives more, and he gives more. God's love is generous. And Jesus himself speaks of this and says, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. This is the generous love of Jesus himself. He's with his disciples. He's about to be arrested and executed, crucified. He's about to give up his life. But he says, this is not a meaningless act. This is not just murder. This is an act for the soul of the world. Greater love has no one than this. And he laid down his life. That he gives everything and beyond everything. God's love is active, but God's love is generous as it gives. Third thing, just very quickly. God's love is knowable. God's love is knowable. Because I know. Do you know, sometimes we hear people speak and we go, do you know, that is great. But it's so way out there. It would never touch me. It's just too far. You know, I would if I could, but I can't. But we need to understand that God's love is knowable. The Apostle Paul speaks of this extraordinary love. And he expresses a prayer. He says, my prayer for you is that you might know this love. But then says, you might know this love that surpasses knowledge. This love is, in a sense, it's beyond knowledge. It's too big, it's too great, it's too extraordinary for us. But my prayer is that you will know it. And it may be that we just touch it around the edges and we just begin to understand this love. But my confidence is that just as the Apostle Paul prays that we might know this love that is surpasses knowledge. We cannot contain this love. We too might begin to know this love and enter into this love. God acted so that we might know his love. But of course, there's the question, of course, how do we know God's love? How can you know God's love? Is it really knowable? Is it up there beyond? Or is it knowable? How do we know God's love? Very quickly, as we pray. It might be your experience that you've prayed, and just as you've been quiet and you've prayed, you've experienced the touch of God. And that will happen. And that can happen. It could be that as you learn, as you reflect on the life, the teaching of Jesus, as you read these extraordinary accounts of the life of Jesus and the love expressed by Jesus, you're just aware of God's love for you. And it touches you. So as you pray, as you read the Bible, as you learn about him, how else do we know God's love? Through the actions of others. And you know the kindness, the forgiveness, goodness, mercy, generosity of others that comes to you. And I've had that experience where people have been kind to me and they've been good to me. And it hasn't just been a, oh, thanks very much. But it's been a deep thing that has touched my soul. And I'm sure you've had that experience too. And we recognize it and name it as the love of God through the actions of others. But this, just take a note, this last one, through our actions towards others. Do you know, some people say to me, I never experienced God's love. And you might think, well, that's a bit strange because God's love is so active and so generous. It's so out there for us. You know, maybe we've tried praying or we've tried reading the Bible and reflecting on Jesus. We don't seem to receive it from others. Do you know, it might be that when we reach out to others in love, we experience God's love. Do you know, sometimes people say to me, you know, that thing you asked me to do, whatever it was, I was petrified. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. And do you know what? I feel fantastic because I did it. And sometimes people are just experiencing God's love. And it's just buzzing within them because they've reached out in the name of Christ and they've done something kind and generous and merciful. They've forgiven. They've been good. And as they have done that, they've gone, this feels great. I want to do it again. Because they've experienced God's love. God's love is noble. The very last thing. God's love completes us. The passage that we read. Love is made complete in us. God's love completes us. I say many times, you know, some people will say, you know, I'm not a very spiritual person. I'm not a religious. I don't do church. What was it Alistair Campbell said about Tony Blair? We don't do God, you know. And it might be that's what you say. I'm here today, wrong. But I don't really do God. Do you know, you're on a spiritual journey. You may not know it, but you are. Your journey is about discovering meaning and purpose. Ultimately, it's a spiritual journey to find out who you are and what your place in this universe is and who loves you and how you can love and how you can find meaning and fulfillment and satisfaction. It is only when you connect with the love of God that you will know fulfillment and completion in terms of your spiritual journey. Nobody's excluded from that spiritual journey. It's only when we connect with the love of God that we experience that good foundation. That solid foundation. And that doesn't entail us always coming to church, but most probably it will. Do you know, I get sick and tired of people saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. And I go, well, why ever not? You know, normally it's because of the other people at church. But we connect with church so that we might love and be loved. We might experience love. And we might experience more of a spiritual journey, of discovering God, of journeying, finding out more about ourselves and about Him. This is love. God's love is active. God's love is generous. God's love is knowable. And God's love completes us. This is love. Not that we've loved God, but that He has loved us. May God just draw close to us right now. May God in His mercy, in His kindness, and in His love, may God draw close to us, surround us, touch our hearts and our souls. May we know the love that surpasses knowledge. May we know the love that comes deep to us. The love that says to us, I know everything about you. There is nothing in you hidden from me. And I love you. I forgive your sin. Everything you've done wrong. I welcome you. Have a relationship with the living God. May the love of God embrace us today. For we pray in His name. Amen. Amen.